Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everyone, to Apple Pie Playground, where we enjoy a little healing for the heart on Sunday afternoons. I'm your host, Valerie, and thank you so much, BBS Radio, for your support. We are so grateful for all the work and the creative genius that goes on behind the scenes here. Thank you, BBS Radio. We are calling our inner child out to play a little bit in our show today. We want to bring a little bit of therapeutic gameplay here and there as we talk about things that matter to our lives and to our spiritual journey. And today, I thought maybe we could reflect on the idea that we are sovereign spirits with free will minds. And we will remind ourselves that Christ always tells us, be brave, ask the hard questions, learn who you are, right? That's the secret to our eternal life. It's our courage. Our courage is the secret as we envision having an energetic stasis that is peace energy within us that combines our spirit and our body in a very whole way and lets us thrive. And the doorway is unconditional love and acceptance, right? That is the doorway to what we can experience with an energetic stasis in this body that we have. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So let's start with something of a supposal, if we can. Let's suppose that you ask any preteen student today that you know, you ask them, sign your name in cursive, okay? Sign your name in cursive. Chances are very, very good that they cannot do it. Never learned cursive. Most public school students today, no cursive. You want to know why? Well, it's something of a conspiracy theory, okay? But fact is, performing cursive writing populates unique neural pathways in the brain that link many other pathways in a manner that few mental practices actually do. And so I'm quoting here when I explain that a little bit by saying the fluid nature of cursive can promote a flow state, and that's in air quotes, okay, that helps with focus and uninhibited creative expression. So the continuous motion of cursive writing can help overcome mental blocks and inspire innovative thinking, okay? So you know what I'm going to say, bye-bye cursive writing in public schools, and now we know why. That's something of an analogy that I kind of wanted to start with because of our topic today. Because it might be interesting to note that learning how to sign our name in cursive illustrates the pathways we build to increase more of what makes us unique as a brain, right? As we invent a very unique style in our signature, okay? Handwriting experts will actually tell you how hard it is to mimic someone's signature because of the minuscule small little ticks in our writing, unless it's not in cursive, unless there's no personal identifiers there to reveal a true unique identity. And then, of course, forgery is much, much easier to do. And it's just like our cursive signature imprints, okay, that we're talking about. We are energetic imprints. Okay? We are energetic imprints. Each of us has a unique energetic signature. We can develop it, right? We can make it all of our own, or we can stop doing cursive writing and just go back to what everybody else is doing and sort of lose ourselves in the inauthenticity of our own life experience, right? So the question is, have we stopped signing our names in our unique energetic, you know, signatures metaphorically? Is that what our spirits have done in this body? Has this body and this mind started doing what everybody else does? And trying to have what others have and do what others do and be who others are? Are we blending in and making do and trying not to rock the boat, maybe? We keep our heads down. We give and we give and we give in and we give up, and we, you know, we get lost in all of the commotion of living this very controlled lifestyle in the 21st century. And maybe we lose sight of source in the shuffle of all of that, of trying to normalize what we do and how we fit in, and our spirits get kind of lost in the shuffle. And we sort of begin to lose ourselves in the minutiae of this life, right? And here's the painful part of all of that. If it wasn't already painful enough, here's the painful part. If we're not vibing in our own special energetic signature, somewhere, somehow, we are still conditioned by something not our true selves. And maybe even trying to change ourselves into what we're not, right? Does that make sense? We're still making choices against our own spiritual interests, right? Can we see that? And that means somewhere we are more than likely caught up in a belief system. Okay, we're caught up in a belief system. And we've talked about this, and we've talked about self-love and acceptance. We did that last week, if you'll remember. And the idea that self-love causes us to shed these social belief systems because we come back into our own beingness, right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and how that happens. Because self-love positions us for source integration. And we're going to talk about that. Self-love achieves a balance between spirit and body. And that energetic balance achieves something of a transcendence of what we call our self, that is energetic and alchemical and physical. All of it in this body of ours. And it weans us off of the habits of building beliefs. And as you can see, that's a very powerful process. Now, I want to offer a big note here, a big footnote, okay? Am I talking about self-love as the ego mind might experience self-love? Self-love as the shadow self, as it were, love that serves the mind as service to self, self-focused love. Is that what we're talking about here? No, it's not. We are in the heart, in heart energy, as we are describing this balance. So let's be clear where we're focused, right? When we talk about this energetic balance that we're trying to achieve with our self-love. Always consider where our focus is, okay? Are we focused as a mind trying to do things on its own? Or as the flow of heart energies balancing a brain and a body and a spirit, right? Where's our focus? Are we integrating mind and body and spirit? And it matters energetically, right? How we're funneling spiritual energy. And why is that important? Well, remember, the heart's electromagnetic field is six times stronger than the brain's. It is our primary energetic field, the heart. It is where spirit is doing its good work, okay? And we need to be sure of that. So the focus is super important, right? We cannot love a compassionate God who has no judgment, who is inseparable from us through everything, if we cannot offer the same thing to ourselves, right? And friends, our brains won't let us do that. When we limit our own perfection, the brain finds it hard to accept that a God does not also limit our perfection as well. Do we see that? As a matter of the ego mind, do we see the very real catch-22 here? The mind says, if we can't love us, then certainly God can't love us, right? Love is a set of conditions for the mind, right? It's what the brain does, right? And I suppose if we want to be just very, very candid about the conversation, the real question is, can a brain really love at all on a spiritual level or otherwise? And that might be a question we want to keep in the back of our minds as we contemplate these ideas together today. Can we see how our energetic work is an inside job, right? Balancing the energies of mind and heart, focusing on life force energies, learning to harmonize, learning integration, right? Balance, peace, harmony, matters of the heart. And no matter how hard we try, friends, I can tell you right now, try as we may, we are never going to find inner peace as a process of the mind. That inner stillness where everything stops is not a process of the mind. We will never feel love as a mental experience. We're just not going to do it. It's just not what happens in the ego mind. The mind cannot create a state of beingness cognitively, a state of presence, stillness, absence of thought, love without conditions, weighing and measuring. It cannot do that. It has to do the identifying, the judging, the conditioning. That's what the brain has to do for itself, right? The mind cannot separate itself from the conceptual thought process. It can't do that. It cannot love others, friends, except under conditions or what we call transactional states of love, a conditional love that gives in order to gain something, right? True love comes from somewhere else completely. And nobody is going to tell you this truth. We cannot think our way into love. We can think our way into delusion. We can transact the idea of love as a conditional state. What do I have to give to get what I feel like I need as a cognitive process? Right? And I sort of feel like, as an aside to that conversation, maybe I want to share that it's why doing meditation is fairly self-defeating. We think we're developing an integrated state of mind when we sit and we be still, right? And we activate our spirit and we meditate. And we want to bring in peace and love, right? Nope. Doesn't work that way. There's no such thing as an integration into the mind, friends, right? It doesn't work that way. We need something more. We need something more that is only there with the spirit infused into what the body does. So the question is, how do we experience real love? And what is real love? How do we experience real peace then? Right? Moving into a state of being is a stasis of energies. Okay? It's a stasis of energies, our state of beingness. Okay, it runs through the body from the center field of the heart because that is our energy center. That's where peace is, friends. We move out of the mind to observe it from an energetic distance. And this is an old idea. It's an ancient idea. Zen meditation calls it attaining no mind or empty mind. We're talking about achieving an energetic stasis, allowing the observance of energy flow, right? And that's something of a tangent, but I think it's super important to kind of share that together and let that ruminate a little bit. So can we see how peace energy is the closest experience to unconditional love that we have really in this human body as a spiritual connection to what our brains and our bodies do? When we say, I love you unconditionally, what we're doing is we are resonating now in a stasis energetically that connects us together. It aligns us. We unify energies, and there's harmony then between us. And friends, that is God's love. That is God's love. Okay? Anything else for us in a human body is of the mind. It's selfish or conditioned. It's lustful love. And I'm not judging, right? Everybody likes a little lovemaking. Okay? Super fun human stuff. There's no question about it. Probably a lot of us come back over and over again because that's such a great part. But let's be sober about what we're doing, right? Let's be sober about what it takes to energize a balance in this physical body as a spirit, which is necessary for us, right? It's necessary work for us. So I want to ask a question. It's something I wanted to ask last week. So we'll pick up where we left off, okay? And the question is that I want to be sure to pose is the question of, can we have too much love for ourselves in this human experience, right? Can we love ourselves too much? Well, only if our love comes from the abuses of the mind. The ego that experiences self-focus and self-centeredness, right? And the question is, can it even love anything but itself anyway, right? Can our ego mind really love anything else but itself? So let's understand that our balance really depends on love that comes from the heart as life force energy. Okay, it has to come from somewhere else. The mind is not going to provide it. If we want to be expansive and balanced and peaceful and have a self-actualizing energy aligned into, I suppose, what we could call a zero point of energy that is located, harmonized within us and our bodies, right? A place where healing begins, where now we're actually starting to talk about this zero point of energy that can be harmonized into healing. And ego love, right? This egoic love, this self-focused kind of love, the conditional, what can I get in return for what I give? Very natural thing for the mind. It runs the risk of a selfish and self-serving narrative here if we're not very, very careful, right? We can obscure the work of the spirit. We can obscure the opportunities for self-healing very quickly. We can move very quickly out of an energetic stasis depending on where our focus is, right? Our balance point. It's really about remembering who we are at our core, right? Let me put things in terms of our thinking, okay, of mind energy. So here's a little bit of science that might go along with this conversation. There is an evolution of our brains that over time forms what is called negativity bias, okay? Negativity bias. The brain is hardwired to survive danger, right? And we know this. And so it stores and retrieves negative input or painful input, right? Much more readily than positive information. It's a survival mechanism. Okay. So if there's an occasion for both a positive input from the brain and a negative input, right? A positive output and a negative output coming in, the negative input and the negative output will outweigh anything else going on, right? So the negative output is going to outweigh our retrieval process because the brain is paying more attention to negative input, okay? Is that confusing? The point is, where does the brain's balance come from, right? What is the brain paying attention to? What balances input and output that is egoically driven? Okay, that balance of what the brain is trying to do and what it pays attention to and what it ignores, okay, it has to come from somewhere else. We can't think ourselves into peacefulness. Okay, we cannot think ourselves into peacefulness. So there's also a thing known as cognitive ruts, or a hard wiring in the brain of a pattern of self-perception. Okay, we create a relationship with ourselves cognitively, usually a self-critical relationship, and certainly a self-centered one, right, by nature. Because remember, we are managing self-perpetuating egos. And they think in terms of fear and safety and need and control. So developing self-love requires rewiring ingrained, egocentric, self-centered habits and thought patterns that tell us, we're not safe. We should have fear. We have to serve ourselves first for survival, right? That's not a very integrative environment, is it? It's just not an integrative environment. So where does this integrative opportunity for self-love come from? Okay. It's a lot like creating a new relationship with ourselves when we think about it. It's hard work that we have to put in the time with if we're wanting to move our sense of love from the mechanics of a mental pattern into a spiritual one. So how do we do that? How do we learn to love ourselves as an action plan, so to speak, a spiritual action plan, right? Well, we change the unhelpful thought patterns that we have. Okay? We change the habits of our subconscious selves. We begin to observe the subconscious as it pops up into thought and behavior, right? So how do we do this? Well, we become super curious about ourselves. We study what is us. We study what is us. We identify negative talk. What kinds of critical things are we telling ourselves, right? And we replace negative thought patterns with compassion, acceptance, validation. So what is validation? Well, validation means, okay, I am worth the efforts of my self-help. I am worth my time and effort, okay? And it takes mindfulness and real compassion to reframe critical thoughts, to neutralize them with a habit of observing and, you know, observing our behavior, pivoting from that behavior with awareness, validating our needs, validating our efforts, right? And, you know, it may be worth noting that unconditional love that we're talking about does not mean, by the way, love without boundaries. Okay, so let's be clear there, just as something we might want to get in here. Unconditional love does not mean love without boundaries, okay? We want to, let's think about that for a second. Our goal is balance. It's peace. It's flow. It's that energetic stasis, right? It's harmonizing behavior with goals of the heart as a relationship between body and mind and spirit that fosters growth and transformation. Okay, so we're building an analogy together. So imagine that unconditional love or the energetic stasis of true alignment is something of a stool that we sit on. An energetic stool that we sit on as we try to balance our energy flow, our human experience. Okay, this is the analogy of the three-legged stool of enlightenment. Okay, it's in Zen teachings, the three-legged stool of enlightenment. And this is where each leg combines with the others to produce balance. Okay, to produce balance. And the process generates great trust, great doubt, and great determination. Okay, do we see this as the three-legged stool? Truth comes to us from these things. Okay, the idea is all three have to exist for the stool to be sturdy enough, balanced enough to sit on. So our stool is the balance of trust in one's true nature, trust in one's true nature, and doubt. Doubt the willingness to question reality, right? We have a willingness to question reality. We can call that doubt. And it's okay to use that word. And determination, the courage to stay on the path to enlightenment, right? The courage to stay on the path, to do the inner work, right? That is beingness, that is enlightenment. And those are our tasks, the tasks of the three legs that create balance. So let's consider that the balancing still requires something of a means to an end, right? We have the stool. We know what it takes to create the balance. How do we manage the balance, right? How do we manage the balance? How do we integrate a practice of stasis, of peace, of unconditional love? Are we using the practices that support the stool that we sit on? And you know, what might those be to help our balance? Do we have healthy boundaries? And that's one thing we can look at. Do we have healthy boundaries? Do we practice respect and self-respect? Do we build in self-reflection in our thinking? Right? These are some practices that balancing the stool needs. Right? The stool that we rest on. So I'm sure there are many other kinds of practices that you perform every day, and you get a sense of what that stool requires for you, the balance that you need in your lives. And that's worth all the effort in the world, isn't it? And when we put in the effort, something wonderful happens, okay? We find this energetic stasis. We start to love our progress. We develop compassion for ourselves, and it generalizes out to others. And we become accepting of our physical flaws, and we become forgiving of the flaws of others, and we begin to build in the perfection of our spirit. And after a while, we begin to lose the filter that uses judgment altogether, right? Rather than judgment as a weapon, we use it as information, as a resource, and it loses the weaponry that hurts so bad and that holds us back. And that becomes a magical experience to observe without judgment, right? If we won't give up, and if we remain diligent, and we consider our balance, and we measure it, and we observe it. And so I kind of want to offer a little exercise that we can practice. It's called a self-compassion break, and we can take self-compassion breaks. And it's called giving a roar, like a lion. Give a roar during times when we need compassion. A-R-O-R. Give a roar, everybody. A-R-O-R. Okay. 4 steps to a self-compassion break. Number one, we acknowledge I am suffering right now. Let me think about this. I don't feel balanced. I'm feeling somehow. Let me check this out. I'm suffering. Let me acknowledge that that's going on, right? And then we recognize our humanity in that by saying, okay, this is a normal human experience. Okay? And then we offer kindness to that feeling. And we say, I choose to be kind to myself right now without judgment. And then the fourth thing that we do is we resist judgment. I resist my urge to judge myself right now. Right? And this is our self-compassion break. And we deserve it and we need it. And once we begin to offer it to ourselves, it's extraordinary how we are able to generalize that to others. And we see others in such a different way once we begin to show ourselves that kind of compassion. And another great practice that I love and that we hear a lot about, and if you haven't heard about it, I'm so very glad that you're hearing it now because it's very simple and super, super powerful. It's a physical practice that is energetically very powerful. Silently, without speaking, okay, no vocalization at all. Put your hand on your heart and just let it rest there and just breathe. Let your hand feel the energy of your heart and just breathe. No words, right? No spell casting, just silent breathing. It is an energetic exchange. It's a balancing, right? And after a time of practice, we can feel powerful energy flow, right? It really does calm down our nervous system. Okay, just silent realigning of energy. Try it, hand on heart, and relax through that. It's very powerful. I commend it to you at any time you need to just take a break. Just quietly experience that physical expression of breathing into your energy and realigning. It's very powerful. So those are two ways that I'm hoping that we can very quickly realign and begin to build that observant of how to shape our alignment and come into energetic stasis as we practice balance and we think of the metaphorical stool that we sit on to balance ourselves during our day, right? I hope that was helpful. So now you know what I want to do. Let's play a little bit. You want to? We need a little bit of playtime today. And so grab a pen and a piece of paper if you're inclined, if you have your notebook, get it out. It's always a super fun thing to do. Grab any old thing to write with, any old thing to write on, and let's play together a little bit, friends. We are going to do some line art today together. So while you're grabbing your pen and a piece of paper or your notebook, right? Some of us like to keep our notebook for Sunday afternoons together. We're going to talk about line art and a little activity that we're going to do. And this is where we use lines that we draw on paper to express an emotion that we've been feeling. Okay? So grab your pen and piece of paper. We don't want to leave anybody behind. We're going to do a little bit of line art together, have a little bit of fun. Let's make a key for ourselves on our paper, okay, that we're going to use for our picture or our line art. And you know what a key is, right? It's where we have a little box that tells us what our information is on a map. Okay. So for our line art, we're going to start with a key of lines that we might want to use. Okay. A key of different kinds of lines that we might want to use for our line art. So let's think about what your happy line might look like. So draw in the corner somewhere of your paper what your happy line looks like. And it can look like any old thing that you want to draw. Draw a happy line, right? In the key there. Draw a happy line. And now let's draw a sad line. What does your sad line look like? Just put a little sad line in your key there in the corner. And so we have a happy line and we have a sad line. And so now take just a couple of minutes and add three more lines that you are going to put into your key in your own patterns that express three more emotions. What are three emotions that you might want to represent with a line in your key that you may want to use for your line art today? So take a minute and add three more lines there of three other emotions that you might want to represent in your key there. And we might want to use those for our line art. So as you're finishing that up, let me give you some instructions so that we can make our line art together. On your paper, you're going to use the line patterns that you just put in your key there. And you're going to use your line patterns to draw a picture that illustrates the emotions that you are experiencing. Okay, right now, or maybe the emotions you experienced this morning, or maybe the emotion that is an overwhelming emotion for you over the last couple of days. However you want to express your line art, you're certainly welcome to. So let's take a minute and let's do some line art. Use your key, the line patterns that you created for yourself, and let's draw a picture of the emotions that you're feeling right now, or that you felt this morning, or that you felt this week. What are those emotions, and how do they look when we do a little bit of art with those lines? So take a minute. Draw your line art. What are you drawing on your paper? What does that emotional pattern look like on your paper? And it doesn't have to be fancy, and you can just let your pen or pencil or marker go and see what happens as you draw your line art using the patterns that we have and taking a look at what comes up on the page. And so the picture is, you know, what did we draw with our lines? What does your picture look like? What lines did you use? What does it represent to you in your picture? And you can ask yourselves, do you like feeling the emotions in your picture? Right? Why or why not do we not like the emotions, or do we love the emotions in our picture? Why are we feeling these emotions, right? What would happen to our picture if we changed the strongest line in our picture, maybe to a happy line? What would happen if we changed that strongest line in the picture to a happy line? How would that change our line art? How would that change our line art? And I hope you enjoyed our line art activity today. I hope you came up with something that was informative and something that you could look at from a subconscious perspective, perhaps something that you could meditate on for a little while, and something that was creative and helpful It's so very much fun to do good work with you and to play a little bit. I so enjoy that time together that we have. If you didn't quite finish, please, please don't let me stop you. Hopefully you can continue your good work as we listen together and share some more time. I'd like to turn our attention to an idea that I want to be very careful with. I want to honor the way that we bring our sensitivities to spirituality together as we share those and consider the ideas of our spirituality. I want to honor the independent nature of that. So let's think about this realigning of our energies and the job that Christ came to do. And in his mission, he had many things that had to be addressed. And one of those was to teach us a better way of remembering how to realign our energies so that we can fill our bodies with source light in a realignment of our life force. And that was good work that he worked very, very hard to do with every breath. To get us to understand how to harmonize our spirits with those bodies while we have them, right? And Christ has said many times as a teaching, when we begin to question what doesn't make sense to us, we will become troubled by it, very troubled, and we will be forced to feel the energy inside of us that stirs our suspicions, that makes us doubt. And then we have a passion then to know truth, right? Truth that creates expansiveness inside of us. And by expansiveness, I mean we experience shifts in awareness that begin to dissolve limiting beliefs. Right? We empty the vessel that we have of this body. We empty it of delusion and distraction and false information. And we fill it again with spirit from a cup that is emptied of mind control, essentially, right? So we can integrate life force energies through our heart space. We can create a spiritual stasis. And we become miraculous. And we look at the life of Christ and we say, how miraculous you were. How miraculous. And then maybe we don't realize that his own teachings were to show us just how miraculous that evolution into our spirits can be for us as well. We become lighthouses, beaming light out into the world. We become those descriptors that we love to describe Christ as himself, right? We become immovable and integrated and unifying and eternal and memorable, right? And we have remembered who we really are. And the truth is, we are everything, friends, everywhere, all at once. That's the truth. We are miraculous. We just need the determination to continue the good work that that was started 2,000 years ago or so. And the truth is, it was started much earlier. There is an effort of the ages to move humanity back into housing physical spirits. It's an ongoing effort. It goes on even now. And as we reach out to a universe of source energy pointed right at us and moving through us and around us, our work is to become brave enough, right, and sovereign enough to engage that and align it and build our spiritual stasis and our physical experience around that. And doubt is part of the work. It's part of the balancing. It is part of the three-legged stool that we sit on. Absolutely. Yes, Doubting and testing and daring is part of our good work, right? Ours is to trust our knowing, right? And to allow things that don't serve that to fall away as untrue through determined efforts to find our peace and to return to our essential selves. And when we feel deep inside the truth stirring in us and our body filling with source energy, and we fill our body with our spirit and the spark of source energy itself, then we become eternal again in our knowing. We become inseparable from God and indomitable, and we will have everlasting life because it becomes true for us. We lose all the fear of the unknown because we become the I am, the conduit for all things knowable. And I think about something Henry David Thoreau wrote in his novel, Walden Pond. And he described his intentional trek into the woods as a need to live intentionally. And he said, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately. And that's what it's going to require, friends. It's going to require true deliberation on our parts. It's going to require that effort of moving ourselves into a position of seeing all that is in a very different way by becoming curious and trusting that we're worthy to know ourselves. And we can begin to flow and swim in this cosmic flow. It's what I love to term the sacred waters of Source. It's such a beautiful analogy, a sacred water that pours over us and through us and around us and precedes us in our flow. And it is knowing, and swimming is our knowing. Right. And as humans, we have a lot of obstacles to overcome. And that's okay. Doubting is part of the work, and we feel our way back to ourselves. And we trust that we are on our path when we honor ourselves. And against a wall of a long, dark hallway for many of us, we are feeling our way back into the light. That is our good work. So what moves us forward? Great trust, great doubt, and great determination. And truth comes to us from those things, the one truth of the one source. And eventually, all our separate truths mature into the knowing of our one truth of source. Our perception conceives of a gazillion realities in our minds, but our hearts unify us all in a single truth that runs through the cosmos. The light at the end of the tunnel, as it were, is our balance, right? And energetic stasis and peace energy offered to us through compassion and unconditional love is our journey. It's what we create for ourselves. It's what we walk toward as we walk toward the light of our knowing. So how do we wrap our heads around all of this? I mean, that's a lot to take in, right? The idea that our personal journey is trudging out of the programming and the mind control of our brains, right? And that's not easy. That's not easy to think about sometimes. Once we begin to allow ourselves to question what we think we know, right? Our questions will change everything for us. And it may get darker before it gets light, right? Don't you hate hearing that? Yeah, I do too. I always do. But there is truth in it, friends. There are horrors to be realized in this physical world. Realities that are unquestionably dark, troubling, difficult to believe, and even harder to break from. No question about it. But once we open to following the breadcrumbs that lead us to truth, then we slowly liberate ourselves. And in that, we become our power. We become our power. What we discover is the one truth, right? We discover the way, the truth, and the life that is the real us. The one way, one truth, one eternal life, right? And we've sort of been swimming in the same fishbowl for eons, certainly since 2,000 years ago, recirculating histories that always seem to end the same and bring us right back to our demise over and over again, right? But maybe not this time. Maybe not this time. And why not? Well, we're waking, friends. We're waking. Christos energies are alive and at work even harder for us right now. And with us this time around, you are at work this time around. We're here together, communing in this energy here, right now. That's power. It's because you pressed into illusion. You asked the difficult questions. You demanded better answers, and you listened to your intuition. And Christ said, let him who seeks, continue seeking until he finds. And when he finds, he will become troubled. And when he becomes troubled, he will be astonished. And he will be freed. And he will reign over all. And that's us. And that's what we do, friends. Right? Test as you trust. And trust your tests, everyone. Trust your tests. So just an idea that might be worth thinking about a little bit. You know, we are that which we try so hard to serve, friends. We are emanations of Source. We serve the inner knowing that connects directly to God. Christ served his inner knowing that tethered him to home, always tethered him to home. And there is no external master, friends. There is only mastery, right? There is no external master. There's only mastery, enlightenment. Enlightenment, it's an inside job. If I can be so bold as to suggest something, and I'm hopeful that it does not offend when I say things like that. And our good work is to fill the human vessel that holds Christ energies, those Christos energies that emanate from Source, energies anchored here for that purpose. To fill our bodies with our spirit as a direct line to Source, as a way home, friends. Pulling our spirit, our light, fully into our body. And why do we insist on worshiping our brother, whose only message really was to liberate ourselves from worshiping external rulers and false gods, not our Source? I mean, that was the message. Right? And it might be worth stating that our journey is, it's an inside job. It's a job for the energy field of the heart, our sacred heart. It's the message of Christ, right? To go within, the quest for catharsis. And catharsis is purification of our beingness, of our heart, liberating ourselves from the control of an unconscious mind. Spiritual catharsis is stripping away all that is false to return to our authentic selves. And that takes courage because it requires stripping away belief systems. And sometimes change is not easy. And we know this. But it is worth it to find ourselves again as living templates of Source itself. So let's understand, if we can, Christ embodied direct energies of the highest realms of Source. It's why some see Christ's incarnation here as metaphorical or symbolic and maybe even archetypal because of that idea. Because Christ entertains a host of special energies that undertook the mission of anchoring this world to the Christos energies that we call, you know, Christ consciousness. And how many of us are here now to help with this work, and how many more do we need? It is a big undertaking of our times, as it is in every age, as it has always been. It takes us all. It takes the all of an age to liberate us. It takes us all to liberate us all. There is a cosmic plan working with our universe's architecture, even though we may be lost inside the dreamscape there. The idea is truly a matter of cosmic architecture. We are a living template of the soul, so to speak, in a plan working to help us realign our energetic blueprints as a matter of realigning the cosmos. You know, if you want to think about it in dramatic terms, right? That's pretty dramatic. Awakening the cosmic codes that flow remembrance into consciousness itself. I mean, you know, it's an inside job. It's all inside. It's all what we're doing inside. Universes of universes are on the eye of a needle. And only the light passes through, friends. It's an inside job. All that is real and true is, it's so very large that it is inconceivable to be such a small speculation of a single second of awareness that changes immediately upon its thinking. It's hard to believe. Christ has said, though, it is our duty to journey into this idea. To question what we think we know, to push against the beliefs of the day, to unveil difficult truths about our essential selves and our energetic expression as source itself. Our good work is to remember ourselves again. That is our good work. And so it was so wonderful to spend time with you today and to think about those things. And I'm very honored to be in this space with you together, and I hope it is compelling to think about when we aren't together, friends, and throughout your week there is something that is beneficial to think about and reflect on. As always, I love spending time with you. Our play is the fun part, of course, and hopefully next Sunday we'll be together again and we can have some more play as we talk about ideas that are not so easy sometimes to think about, and yet we do it together, and we are brave as we walk this journey together, and that's a beautiful thing. So, friends, as we close our time together, let's remember to show ourselves compassion. Let's grow in our self-love and be gentle with your heart space this week. It is such a beautiful place. And so until next time, friends, you have all of my love. And thank you, BBS, for your good work. All of my love to you, BBS. We love you so much. And so next time, friends, I look forward to more time together.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.